This episode is brought to you in part by Swim. Here's the thing about wishlist apps. Most of them just sit there. A customer saves a product, and then nothing happens. Swim actually activates that data. When someone wishlists a product, you could trigger price drop or back-in-stock alerts and feed that intent directly into Klaviyo or your CRM. You're not guessing what people want, because they've told you. Plus, customers can share wishlists for gifts, and your team can view them to offer personalized service online or in-store. And unlike cart abandonment, wishlist data is permission-based. These are people raising their hand saying, "Hey, I want this, just not right now." Swim's been around for over a decade. It powers 45,000 stores and installs in about 5 minutes. You could try it for free today at getswym.com/Kurt. That's getswym.com/Kurt. Back at Shopify Winter Editions, they launched tons of new stuff, as they do, but there was several items that stood out to me. And my favorite, as I've said before, are things that leverage Shopify as a network, as a large group of merchants, a flock of D2C stores, if you will. And they've got this thing that's called the Shopify Product Network, SPN. And this one, definitely powerful, unusual. You may be shocked to hear it lets other merchants advertise, maybe merchandise, include their products on your store. We're going to get the details here. We're joined by Amanda Engelman from Shopify, Director of Product, leading advertising in channel expansion. She's going to break it down for us, tell it how it is. Of course, this is the unofficial Shopify podcast, and I'm your host, Kurt Elster. Amanda, thank you for joining me. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here. Glad to have any minute to have a chat and walk everybody through this new product. So thank you for having me.
For sure. Okay. So advertising and channel expansion. All right. Not the sexiest phrase. What are we actually talking about here? What was the goal? What did we do here?
Yeah. I mean, I think that if you just like back up for a minute, we look at the network as just any opportunity that we can provide for merchants to mutually grow, right? And I think typically we talk about the more of like the actual demand side of it, so the advertiser side of the house. But the reality is there's a lot of opportunity that also exists on the other side, where, of course, typically merchants are willing to monetize in the form of being a publisher, but we actually... We took an attempt at this that looks a little bit different than that, which is what would happen actually if we gave these merchants a utility that also allowed them to dynamically merchandise. So not just slap a display ad into their actual online store, but to actually think about how this might feel much more native to where it is that they actually want to go and how they merchandise and how they think about meeting the demand of their buyers.
I'm interested. Keep going.
Okay, keep going. Yeah, so I think that, in my area, I largely think about, again, like, what are those utilities, the levers that we can help a merchant pull to profitably grow? And I think what we observe and what we see is that, again, sure, it's, we talk a lot about bringing the demand to your site. So like, where am I going to go run my ad on Google or even in, shop out through shop campaigns? But the additional reality here is that like, there is also a lot of uncaptured, unmet demand, right? So categories you never thought about expanding to, products that perhaps have intent, but you just never merchandised. And so I think what we wanted to do here is like say, hey, like we actually have a huge catalog and we have a lot of advertisers who want growth. And we also have a lot of merchants who, own the site, own the presence, who have their opinion on how they want to brand. And if we can actually like capture that thing that exists in the middle, like there actually I think is a mutual growth opportunity between these merchants.
All right. So I get the thinking.
Yes.
So we have a store we run or help run Pins and Aces, sells golf accessories and apparel. And you know, listeners of the show will know Nick Mertz from previous episodes. And they have been using the Shopify product network to fill out their catalog, like you described. And so it sounds to me like the thinking here is, hey, Shopify as a group, as a platform, has a huge number of products.
That's right.
And say, you know, in the case of this example merchant, they sell golf accessories. Well, they can't sell possibly every golf accessory, right? You know, they don't sell golf balls of all things.
Yeah.
And so, you know, hey, well, certainly someone else on Shopify might sell golf balls or other complementary products. And the idea is that's a merchandising gap that Shopify could solve.
Yeah.
Am I getting the strategy here correct?
Yeah, that's right. I like to tell the story of we have a lot of merchants who have success with the one hero product. And and that's real. Like you should have the one hero product and you should go sell, you know, the shit out of that hero product and go put it everywhere. But inevitably, as you probably know, what happens is you feel the urge, the need to expand, because that's the additional way, of course, to grow your revenue. But sometimes you don't know how to expand, and maybe sometimes you just shouldn't feel that you are responsible to deciding what that should be. Not responsible is a weird word, but there are, as you mentioned, we have millions and millions of merchants who have great products, which actually may be a great match already for your buyer. And, you know, I think this is the opportunity, the early stage opportunity to figure out generally what it is that they want before you go in and commit. And so I think we see this as in some ways a flywheel. Yes, go category expand, go try it out, go see the price point, go see the range, get a good understanding of it, carry it if you want to. And we want to make that easy. And then go do more, right? So expand in I would say a responsible, early, low lift way.
Easy, responsible. Low lift. I hear easy. I just do.
I think so. That would have been the easy thing for me to say too. Yeah.
All right. I get the strategy now. Tactically, in practice, what does this thing look like? What is the Shopify product network doing here?
Yeah. So today we've started largely with how do we extend onto your existing collections and to actually surface products in moments with high search intent, right? So we'd like to say, especially in the moments where you haven't actually considered carrying that inventory, it's a really good answer to that. And that pulls all the way down into the thank you page and order status page. We had some opportunities there previously, but we've, since then sort of revised that so that everything remains on site, on your storefront. We don't have buyers who are, clicking on the products and navigating out. In many ways, we've redone our checkout to actually accommodate the fact that, one, you are not actually the responsible seller to these products right now. And that, two, therefore, we've actually created a checkout that does a multi-transaction checkout and gives you the buyer. You actually have that now as a buyer in your arsenal to market to. As well as the advertiser side, same thing. That also is a customer now that they can use.
We're talking about this app, Shopify Product Network app.
Yep.
And I have it installed and running in this Pins and Aces store. It's very simple. I log into Product Network and I can see here's a dashboard of everything. And then my option is placements. And in placements, it's hey, choose where you want to show relevant products from other sellers. And these are other Shopify stores, right? Okay. And then so I could pick, and it's collections and search. That's on the store and the theme. So they don't have that checked, and they just haven't tried it yet. They have thank you and order status, though, checked. And that alone has been generating additional orders and commission, which is cool.
And where we're going with this is also how do we offer as rich as possible insights? Because I think
you know, the way that I imagine this is like the insights can be used for any number of things, whether that's like, how do I target? Like there's some like actual richness in thinking about other products people are interested in, especially on the thank you and order status page where it tends to be more personalized. All the way into like, how do I use this insight to think about where does I want to go and expand? Or what it is I actually should be carrying in this particular category. So if anything, it's like beyond just the fact that you make commission, that you are earning a buyer as an example, it should also give you some like, you know, depth of business thinking, like some actual like insights that can help you drive your next decision.
So I could see, so I set up the placement, so then it's going to offer products on its own automatically to folks. And then in the current version, I could see by category, it looks like what they purchased. And unsurprisingly, in our golf store, the top category is golf. So just knowing only that, now I know, oh, there are items, you know, or accessories in the space that my customers want to buy that I'm just not offering. That, I mean, that's a, like, that's a real example in this case, but that seems to be kind of like the research component to this.
Yeah. I like to give the example. There was a merchant I was chatting with who had decided that they wanted to expand like into the shoe category, but it took them a year. It actually took them a year to like develop the shoe. And it was really high. That's high risk, right? So you're sort of going off of like, we think there's demand. We think this is right. We're going to go and develop something. And Shopify Product Network allows them to think about how to flip that on the head, right? So what we're working on actually right now is like, how do you do like completely adjacent category expansion? So, you know, I think I want shoes. I think I want luggage. I think I want sunglasses. I think I want watches, but I'm not really sure the kinds of products. I'm not sure of the price point. And what beyond what we're doing today, what we're going to be then offering you is like the ability to basically direct that expansion and to get insights on that and like how you want to move forward after this.
Is there reporting that gets added in Shopify Analytics from Product Network?
Yeah. So today we give you all of the product details, like if the product is purchased in your order, admin. So there's actually a dropdown you can go to and see all of the products specifically that were sold on site for you.
Oh, I see. I didn't know this. I'm going after this call. I'm going to do that for this client, find out what they were, and then see like, hey, are there insights here? Are there things that like we definitely should consider finding and selling?
That's right. And then, you know, we have some like high level impressions engagement metrics there, but we're, you know, it's something that we're working on right now is like, how do we go even deeper there and give you more actionable insights. It's a very important thing.
Yeah. No. Okay. That's very cool. I'm curious about how the placement with collections and search works. This dynamically injects these other products into my collection grid and my search results.
Yeah, that's right. So we dynamically insert and we decide what is right to insert based off of your collection and product context. Everything from like the imagery to the product descriptions, to the collection information itself. So we use, on the collection side in particular, we use that as context to make sure that we aren't returning something that is so obviously not meant to be on your store, I guess is the way I would put it. Like we want it to actually feel like as brand aligned, as close, you know, as close as we can to get there, to make it feel like something you would have actually selected on your own. And then we also, on top of that, look at more of like the personalization aspect of it. So yes, it has to be contextual. And then if we can also get it personalized to the buyer, that's ideal. And then on the search side, like this is much more about just like, you know, search relevancy. Of course, we take into consideration the brand context as well, but we want to be, you know, returning something that is, of course, like relevant to the actual search query itself.
Okay.
That one's a bit more straightforward, I think.
All right. And I've seen it in practice where like I have yet to see, and I thought for sure it would do this, but I was wrong. I have yet to see it come up return something that's like genuinely weird that seems like, well, that shouldn't be there. You know, it's not like, hey, they're selling golf accessories and it offers an oil filter. Like, it just, you know, that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Right. So there is, whatever you're doing seems to be working, is my point. Now, with other clients, I've been like, hey, there's this thing, you know, this new feature. I really want to try it. And they're like, wait, my competitor? Like, immediately they're like, you know, whoever their top competitor is, they're like, they're going to be on my site. And I'm like, actually, because I can see this in our example, there's a setting called exclusions. Tell me about this.
Yeah. So we offer you the ability to exclude brands and categories. Knowing very well that, like, that I think every merchant has this view of the world that there's, you know, a set of competitors for whom would be a hard no servicing their product. And category as well, though. One of the things that I think, you know, that we're working on right now is, like, I think that people will use category exclusions to get to specifically where they want us to be inserting and not inserting these types of products. And so we're working on, we've heard a lot of feedback on that. We're working on making that significantly easier as well. So it's like, you should just be able to direct us versus like sit and exclude things.
Here's a word from our sponsor, Zipify. Hey, the holidays are over. Traffic's down, ad costs are still up, and you're staring at Q1 wondering how to keep momentum going. Here's the move. Stop leaving money on the table with every order. One-click upsell automatically increases average order value by up to 30% with AI-powered upsells across your entire customer funnel. Launch pre-purchase and post-purchase upsells for every product in your store in one click. Customers get personalized offers and spend more as a result. Unlike other apps, you only pay for those results, not views. It takes under 2 minutes to set up, and it starts working immediately. Q1 doesn't have to be a slump. Make every order count while you rebuild traffic. Go to zipify.com/Kurt for your 30-day free trial. That's zipify.com/KURT. And let's start the year profitable. And we're doing, you know, right now we're just doing the brand exclusions. And it essentially works like,
yeah,
you know, it works like tags do in Shopify. You just add the name and I'm good.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. You know, so very simple. All right. I'm curious about how you mentioned it, but how you approach checkout here. Because it's, you know, it's definitely, it's unusual. It's different. You know, like in a marketplace, I probably understand that if I'm buying multiple items, they're from different vendors versus I'm on a store. I think everything is from that store, but also there's these other items. But, you know, drop shipping exists. I don't know. Tell me about it. What was the approach?
Yeah, I think the approach, it takes like actually kind of a similar paradigm to, I like, not to compare it in this way, I may eat it, but like marketplaces in many ways will sometimes work this way as well, where, you know, depending on who is the responsible party, there are situations where you actually do have multiple transactions, but the responsibility, you know, aligns to the actual seller itself. And so our thinking here was like, instead of having you go through a checkout where, let's say you have, you know, one merchant's products and then you have a couple that you've added from merchants we've inserted. So let's say you have like three stores that are in your cart. Instead of having to go and click, you know, check out with each individual seller in that case, we're just going to make it possible to like single click, but see multiple transactions, still get the multiple confirmations from the appropriate sellers so that, like, again, it's clear that it's not always like the actual online store by which you are buying from that is responsible, but you're getting emails to confirm that. You know, I think the idea here is that we can streamline the multi-transaction scenario in the order status and thank you page. We also make it clear, let's just say that you've gone back to go check out your, you know, updated shipping, whatever that may be, you can actually see and be directed into like the responsible seller order status page as well from there. But I think, like, you know, here is one where I think we're definitely learning, and I think we want to make it as clear to buyer as possible in order to reduce like any cost to the person who is saying yes to Product Network. Like, we don't want to go and push a load onto people from like a customer service perspective.
So I think we have like our first version of this, but I think, you know, there's more work to do. I'm sure to continue to make that clear for buyers. It is a novel approach.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, I haven't tried it myself. I'm the wrong person to be the one judging it, right? I'm too familiar with everything here.
Yeah.
But yeah, honestly, it's not high on my list of worries. Like I think of all things, you know, checkout seems to be one that Shopify absolutely, you know, sets the standard on.
For sure. I mean, it was an impressive feat. This team managed to create something in, you know, effectively like 2 months. And so I always say, like, if our checkout team can go and kind of do open heart surgery on checkout and how it functions in a couple of months, like pretty much anything is possible quickly. It was impressive, and the flow was impressive, and I won't go into a bunch of the technical details, but making checkout work on a store when the product in cart is not actually the responsibility of that particular online store is actually it's hard work. So
the metaphor I like always is to illustrate how difficult this, you know, platform changes like this are, of course, is rebuilding the plane while it's in flight.
That's right. So, yeah. So very impressive. And, you know, we've learned a lot, but I think our pursuit here and what we really, the outcome we really desired was that there is a world where the person who says yes to Product Network, that we call them the importer internally, that like, it is possible that you don't carry the product, but the buyer can find it and the buyer can check out with it. And that is your buyer now. That is your customer and you're paid for it. So when you think about it from that context, it's like you're actually not paying an acquisition cost. We are actually giving you money to acquire a buyer, which is a complete, you know, flip of the narrative.
No, that is some reverse customer acquisition cost is excellent.
That's right. But
commissions. Oh my gosh. If I'm selling someone else's product gets sold in my store, is the store who did that, I get the commission.
That's right.
We haven't discussed this.
Yes.
But the store we have it on in over November, December, over $3,000 in commissions got paid to them. Yeah. I saw that, was like, oh my gosh, you know, this works. Wow. So tell me about the earning commissions portion of this.
Yeah. So effectively, like, we pay a portion of the revenue to the importer, so to say, and that is actually based on what the CAC is, or like what the actual advertiser set the CAC at from their shop campaign. So that's how these two things are connecting, right? Is like you go, you build your campaign, you set your acquisition costs. We go look at, you know, all of these available products. We're looking at, you know, your context, what is likely to convert, what is like most likely to get you actually like the most revenue into your pocket as well. And that's, you know, effectively how we order the actual products to be inserted. So that acquisition cost is shared with the importer on the, and any product effectively that actually converts on their site.
And okay, that's the other half of this. Like, obviously, we've only talked about this from the experience of the importer, the store who is running the app Product Network to display these products in their store. Obviously, on the other side of the table are other Shopify stores that are going, raising their hands and say, hey, I want my products out there. This is an advertising surface then. Or, you know, walk me through that. Tell me about, you started it, but I want to go deeper.
So, you know, folks may be familiar with shop campaigns, which is what we like to call very much like risk-free advertising. We help merchants build campaigns that are based on, you know, order acquisition, and they pay based on that. And we started this mostly on Shop App. We extended those particular placements out into some of like our third-party tactics, like on Google and Meta, where we drive traffic into Shop App. And then when we decided to launch Product Network, it felt like a really natural extension of a merchant campaign to be able to extend into, you know, this available opportunity, basically. So to take those merchants, the available catalog, to make sense of it, again, contextually, in order to go and reach new buyers, and not just reach them, but to actually like drive the acquisition of them. And again, as a customer that you get to keep and remarket to later. So
it's the store, the importer store, the one that's surfacing this product, they get to keep the customer. It's their customer. The person who's doing the advertising, that store, the exporter store on the other side of that, do they get to keep the customer as well?
Yeah.
They
both get the customer. And that
we're sharing them.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And that was actually work done in checkout, right? So when you think about this, it's like these little small nits that you have to go and change when you think about the checkout experience itself is like, how do we actually communicate to buyer that it is like a shared customer between these two stores. And yes, that's right. So it's taken care of. And that's actually somebody now who exists in your customer data.
So this is kind of a fun marriage between advertising and merchandising. Yeah. But for you, which is it? How do you think of it?
Okay. So I think about the fact that it's more like first principles of like everyone just wants to grow. And and there are so many different ways to grow. And I think the opportunity we're tackling right now is like growth in the name of easy merchandising and sourcing. And so I do look at it that way. But I can see a world of how, you know, gradually I'm sure this is going to evolve over time as we learn more. And there's obviously like other opportunities to go and tackle in the name of growth. But I definitely, I view this, and as we are prioritizing and thinking about the product and thinking about the value it provides, we look at it very much as like a sourcing and merchandising opportunity.
Okay.
And I think that also just like comes with the second order benefit of like, we could go build any ad product, and the outcome of doing that is optimizing, as you know, like for as much revenue as possible. And I think when you're going down that path, you start to make a different set of decisions, lest you create some guardrails that make sure that you're delivering like a truly like native and relevant experience. And the best example I could give of this is like, I could slap any personalized product anywhere on a merchant store, but it wouldn't look good. Like, but if it makes revenue, we would say yes to it. And I think like that is the antithesis of like what we're building, which is that we want to make sure that like this is growth as outlined by how you see it for your store and how you want your buyers to experience it ultimately.
So it's that lens and that context is really, that's what makes the difference. All right. I accept this. It is, you know, merchandising as a means to an end.
Yes.
For, you know, for growth. Mm-hmm. And for, you know, in this case, like we're trying to have everybody win, and you know, right. Rising tide lifts all boats.
I think so.
I accept it.
Yeah.
I believe it.
Good.
I want to know a little bit if you could share, how does Shopify decide what to show? I've heard context a lot here. It's not like personalized, you know, it's not like remarketing. It sounds like it's based on what the store's catalog is.
So we look at multiple different inputs. So one is the, like, let's just say the first layer is the input that you know, each merchant has provided in the form of their exclusions, things I don't want. The other input is where. And the where actually very much dictates like how we then look at what is relevant. So like I mentioned, we look at product and collection context. And what that quite literally means is we go and look at things like, how does the product look, like the image itself, the background, and what does the product say it is, whether that's the title or the description, and what collection is it in? Is it in a woman's collection or a men's collection? Because you may not actually get that from the product information. And all of that just creates a bunch of input that then we use to determine what matches in terms of relevancy. So we go to our catalog and we say, okay, of all the available catalog we have from campaigns that are running, what actually like fits into that particular box? And then what you know, it has a probability of actually converting for this given buyer. So, you know, we could in a given world, like there could be multiple products that we select from that actually fit the shape, the context itself. And we want to then end up in a place where we can select the thing that actually converts and also makes you money. And so, you know, that ends up being like the end decision in this little hierarchy tree is like, it needs to look good and it also needs to make you money.
Ever had a customer cancel an order because they were shopping while high or because they broke up with their significant other? Those are real reasons customers could cancel, and they're a real headache for both you and your customers. Why should they have to email support to change, cancel, or update an order? Enter Cleverific. With Cleverific, your customers can edit their orders themselves through a self-service portal. That means fewer support tickets, faster shipping, and fewer returns. Everybody wins. Peter Manning, New York, cut their order support by 99% with Cleverific. Now it's your turn. Listeners of the Unofficial Shopify podcast get 50% off the Pro Plan. Just $49 a month. Go to cleverific.com/unofficial and use promo code KURT50 at checkout. It's less hassle, happier customers with Cleverific. You know, I had a moment of realizing the devil's in the details.
Yes.
Like the idea behind the core idea behind this product, you know, may seem simple. Hey, we're going to find products that are in this platform and show them in the right places. Oh, okay. You know, on paper, that sounds easy, right? But then in practice, it's like, well, you got to self-checkout and you got to show the right thing to the right person. Essentially, you had to develop a search algorithm here. That had to be hard. And we're like, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, oh man, like what was the hardest part? What was the hardest thing we had to solve for here?
Oh my gosh. I actually think the hardest part is the like what context to use to return the product. Like the most important thing I think is that a merchant feels great about this. And I think what is really hard is how you can programmatically define great. Because there's a lot of taste, like the merchants starting their businesses and their stores and their branding and their audience, like that actually is just taste. And how to interpret taste in a way then that like make sure that you can live up to the expectations it's difficult, right? And I think there are things that we can capture and can't capture, and we're working on that every day. But I think it speaks to just like the art form that we don't probably talk enough about, but I think is the most important thing, which is like how brand and taste actually drive the overarching business itself.
Yeah, it's funny like how subjective and emotional and creative things are, especially at the beginning. Yeah. You know, in this space, everyone's like, well, you know, because the marketers are the ones who show up on the podcast and they're like, well, you know, data-driven decisions. But the reality is like a lot of that experience is just purely it's somewhat arbitrary, you know, and hopefully everything works out. But then, all right, now when you're trying to address that in this way, it seems like a very difficult problem. And now it makes so much sense, you know, why you have to look at the images, you know, like that's the aesthetic part of this.
It is.
You know, the product could be relevant, but does it fit the look and feel?
Right.
Very clever.
Yes. Hard though, right? And then it creates like these second order questions of like, and if it doesn't, you know, how do we think about that product itself? Like if it's a great product, but and it's right for the buyer and it could potentially fit, but maybe it's off in terms of the description or background. Should we actually think about how we, you know, adjust that part of it versus just like not selecting the product, period? So, you know, those are like the second order decisions to be made. We're not there yet, right? But like that's, you can imagine how like, especially in this world of AI, how like maybe that is a place to consider going is like, how do we actually match that look and feel? And can we? So, yeah. And I will say, you know, one of the things that surprised me, because every day I stare at the merchants who are adopting this. I go look at their stores and it's so easy to say this, but it's like obvious, but like the niches, like Shopify has powered so many niches and to see like how people have built business on like Pokemon cards, right? Or on a this is my favorite one was like there's a bulldog a bulldog apparel store. Like somebody just loved that animal so much that they made like a whole store based off of it. And I love it. It's so awesome to see. And I think that goes back into like the taste and branding. It's just like we've given people like the opportunity just to chase their passions and to express that in the form of taste and branding. And now, you know, we have to go capture that as well. So
go. Yeah. That's cool. I almost wish that in the documentation you could include like, here's the really just tough, very detailed, nuanced questions we wrestled with or are still wrestling with, because it gives it so much context, like appreciation. I suppose, you know, not everyone would appreciate it, but it's very fun to hear, you know, that behind the scenes thinking from someone in your position.
Thank you. Yeah. Think about it a lot. We spend a lot of time thinking about this and discussing it, right? There's obviously trade-offs, but yeah. You know, like at the end of the day, it's all in the spirit of how we help people grow. And I think that's what's actually fun about thinking about ads in general, when you're building it from the lens of Shopify, is you're building it in a way where you're mutually aligned to the business outcomes of the actual merchant itself, and not necessarily of, you know, the revenue outcomes that I think people tend to optimize for when they aren't so tied to the actual operating system itself.
Yeah, 100%. No, you're right. Okay. Shopify Product Network. A fairly new idea, I think, for a lot of people. You know, similar things exist out in, you know, the world on other marketplaces, perhaps. But, you know, this in its instance is unique. Is when you have something that's, you know, new and unique like that, there's things that people are going to get wrong about it. Here's our chance to hopefully correct that. You know, what's one or two things that you're like, all right, let's set the record straight here. You know, this is what Shopify Product Network does.
Shopify Product Network is just another tool in the arsenal to help you grow. And we do it by eliminating a bunch of the in-between to get a product onto your air quote digital shelf. We are doing it, as we've just talked about now, in a way that is out of the box contextual to your store. And in that way, like, we hope it's relevant to both buyer and to the store, and all in the name of, you know, getting you, yes, revenue growth, but also customers. And so, yes, commission. Yes, we're going to give you some of that monetary benefit. But the other value here is in customer acquisition. And it's also the value of insights. As I mentioned, you may not see a ton of it quite yet, but like, we are very invested in, you know, really providing deep insights that can drive value out of the gates right away. How we can use our data advantage to help you make good business decisions. That is really the goal. That's what I got. Did that help, Kurt? Was that good?
Yes.
Okay.
No, I'll take it. Man, Product Network, if I want to just install it and look at it, does it cost me anything? Can I just install it and try this?
Install it, try it. It does not cost you anything. Say yes to as much as you can. Try not to, you know, the more exclusions you have, the harder it is, of course, for us to find the right product. That's actually one of the things to think about as you go in and place those exclusions. It just is harder for us to actually insert the, you know, a quality thing. So we just don't. So it's, you know, the thing to think about is like, where is the right place in my store, you know, to really take advantage of this. But keep in mind that like the more breadth you provide, the easier it is for us to actually get you those insights and monetary value.
Man, I want to see this thing in action on more stores. It seems like such a great opportunity. And then hearing like, oh, actually, you know, this is a research tool as well in practice. Ooh, that I like, you know, anything to get more insight into what our customers want, right? That's the hard part.
That's right.
And so seeing it here, it's like, okay, well, here's what they're buying from, could be buying from you given the opportunity. Oh, you know, that's how I hear that report in my head. And that's exciting. Okay. So getting started with it, you know, I just have to install Product Network from the App Store. Sure, I'll link to that in the show notes. And then if I want to start advertising with it, how do I do that?
If you want to advertise with it, you can go and set up a shop campaign, and that's in the shop channel. And we can get you the link for that as well. But certainly most people are both. Most people source, most people sell. And so I think it is, again, in the name of growth, like beneficial to do both.
And I do. I think, you know, both of these are great opportunities for this year. You know, Product Network, really, this is new. When did this become available in wide release for
people? That's great. It actually became available in wide release during Winter Edition, so in December.
Okay.
It is only available in the U.S. right now. We are working on internationalization, so that is to come in 2026. But if you're in the U.S. and you're ready to go, it's an easy install and turn on. It's effectively three steps.
Excellent. All right, final question. If someone has feedback, are they able to provide it?
Oh, please, yes. People can even reach out to me if they want. Yes, I would love feedback. And definitely want feedback. We've gotten early feedback. We're working on a lot of it right now. And I'm very excited about 2026 and what it's going to bring. But yes, we want feedback. Absolutely.
And then how we leave it, the feedback? Yeah. Twitter, LinkedIn, email?
You know what? Let me, you can LinkedIn. I can send you my profile. People can send, you know, direct feedback to me there. That's fine.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Very good. Amanda Engelman, Shopify Product Network. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Hey, before you go, I was hoping you would check out our new app, Promo Party Pro. It is what I want to be the single best, easiest way to run a free gift with purchase promo on Shopify. We just put it live in the App Store. We've got less than 50 users. We want your feedback. So if you need to run a free gift with purchase promo in the near future, install it. Try it. There's a live chat. I check that all the time. And so if you have any issues at all, you know, or any suggestions on how we can make it even easier to use, let us know. We're happy to help. If you want to try it, search Promo Party in the App Store. Promo Party Pro is the app. Give it a shot. It's got a free trial. Thanks.